Last time on Idle Fantasy. The Banshee hovers behind these three figures and still letting out that horrible scream.
You are not of our creation. You are not part of our plan. Your shifters are an anomaly. You will be brought into alignment. Our will is absolute.
While I'm like, got one hand still going for the rope, and I pull out my jar of slick grease.
Okay.
I'm going to lob it over my shoulder.
I am then going to wail on
to this prone, defenseless paladin.
Well, something quite funny might happen now.
Yeah, I know, I'm going to fall over.
It's a good thing he's still totally fine. And I read out loud my scroll of reanimate dead.
What is your bidding, master?
Join our team, because we've got rid of all the bad in you.
I'm just fucking hoiking in that rope.
Okay.
It's business.
Hoik that rope in.
Oh, what time is it? It's time to fuck that banshee up!
You're the little man who held me!
Aye.
Yes!
Teddy, as you're wrestling with death, you hear this melodious voice saying, be healed, boy. From beyond the grave, Teddy stands up, salts this thing. How do you kill a banshee?
I kill it again. Kind of want to do a Captain America thing where I chuck the shield and then follow through with the sword.
This creature explodes in a shower of pale light. Her wispy dress falls to the floor, and you have defeated the banshee.
It would have been so much cooler if I hadn't stopped to tell that guy I killed his brother.
Roll up, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to our Fantasy Zoo. It's the Idle Fantasy Podcast, episode 25.
Whoa, quarter of a century.
Look over there, guys. It's a centaur. But yeah. The thing is, though, right, this centaur.
And over there are 25 penguins.
This centaur, right, it's like a horse's body, just with a little human face coming out of like a blank stump.
No,
it's horrid.
Really, already that's fucking horrible. That's like one of those internet things where they stretch the perspective.
That's the zoo. It's also got two arms that kind of come out of its forehead. It's horrible. Anyway, is that guys, cold? Mull that over.
You guys showed me once a YouTube video that was essentially that, but on some sort of kaleidoscope.
Oh my god!
Like animation thing of like a horse turning into a bird, turning with like arms that were. And I remember being.
I do not remember.
I have no idea what you are talking about.
I can't remember what the visual artist name is, but.
Syriac.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, that hell show. That.
Oh, Syriac's brilliant.
Yeah.
No, you've just described it as a hellish thing, and then
he did the intro to With Bob and David.
Yes, and it's the I think it's the cows video, and it's the cows start splitting in half.
And their knees are going
that,
like this.
That's the one. It's the cat. Yeah.
Hey, we hope we still got you, listeners. Paddy Jervis, why should people keep listening to our weird cow chat?
Because there's going to be so many more friendly faces in Laurie's Fantasy Zoo, and I just can't wait to discover each and every one of them individually and become friends with all the guys.
All the guys.
Yeah.
But the horrifying thing is that all the faces are human,
yep,
and all the bodies are animals.
Yes.
Wait, special, so they all sound like people?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh. But they don't, but like animals, Liam Welton's excellent suggestion there. Welcome, Liam.
Thank you.
Oh, yeah, I didn't actually say hello. Hi.
Hey. Basically, like they sound like humans, but they're all making the onomatopoeic noise that the equivalent animal would make. So the horse is going, nay. Nay.
Hiss.
Hiss.
Yeah, okay, are they all going, like old British aristocracy as well?
A pig going oink oink. Yeah. Oink oink oink.
All the
oink.
Monkeys.
It's actually just
like,
Tories.
Ooh,
that have been.
Ooh, ooh, ah, ah.
It's all Jacob. It's all Jacob Rees-Mogg.
It's all him. Yeah. What just clack, God. Clack, 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 clack,
clack, clack. Wow,
clock. That's a very good Jacob Rees-Mogg.
Imagine him on a little lizard, a little pack of lizards with his face just all going around being like, hiss, Like, really
awkward.
Nicholas. He looks like a sort of snake egg, doesn't he? As well. His head is like an egg.
He looks like the Demon Headmaster.
Haven't we? We've done this before, actually.
We actually have had this.
He gets quite a lot of airtime on this show. Mostly because we, like, genuinely fucking hate him, and he's also a cartoon.
I think we secretly love him.
Nope. Disagree.
Ah.
And Laurie Havelock,
just in case he's listening.
Laurie Havelock's on the DM decks this week.
Chicka wee wah.
Yeah. What are you doing, Fantasy Zoo DJ?
Oh, I'm cooking you up a horrible menagerie of fantasy creatures with butts for eyes.
Whoa, Rumble in the Jungle.
Yeah.
We lost.
He's blinking, or is he farting?
Also, you don't need to introduce him. He does his whole own introduction bit before we were allowed to be...
Yeah, you know,
the
there's
episodes.
I put on a good 15 minutes on the beginning of every podcast.
And in the middle. He gets a lot of his own time.
I want to give him some more airtime.
Thanks, man.
This is basically
he already gets last time on Idle Fantasy. Yeah.
And the Idle Fantasy.
That's my impression
middle
of you.
Plane.
Thanks, man. That's a very flattering impression.
Last time
on Idle Fantasy.
Do we used to have a thing that was like Idle Fantasy, like where you had like all the effects on it and stuff?
Yeah, but I cut that. Mate, how long has it been?
That cut around ages ago. Yeah, that
lasted like five episodes.
Did you stop listening after episode three?
Yeah, no, I gave up after episode three. I'm just not convinced by any of the characters.
I fast because I only ever listen to the episodes rather than like not for enjoyment. Because obviously,
just out of duty.
I find it difficult to listen to it myself.
Them.
I listen to it just for narrative purposes. So I do always skip like 5 minutes in just out of habit, purely because I know that we chat shit for like quite a lot of time.
Such little faith in us, Zach. Welcome to the chat.
I know, we're really funny, so I don't need to hear about it. I need to know what I literally last did so I don't make any sort of errors.
I'm just so easily led. When I listen back to it, I laugh in the exact same places with the exact same tone and like everything. I'm like, and it just like, hearing myself in stereo, and it never fails to get. I love listening to this podcast. Great podcast, everyone. Download it. Tell your friends.
Great. Wow. Good. All right. We've ticked off Jacob Rees-Mogg, self-promotion, and horrible fantasy circus. So well done, everyone. Good work. So look, hey, I'm not gonna stop this party anymore. Should we get right into it?
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah. Okay. Cool.
Follow me.
Great.
Is this the bit where it goes
every time? Horses or songs or fucking horns.
Alright, chaps, look, you've just secured a famous victory against some sort of creatures from beyond the veil here at the top of the Wizard's Tower in Bollocks Deep. You may have dispatched one of the four coins. He was last seen disappearing over the side of this tower as a zombified creature. But you are standing in this, remember, this glass-walled revolving room, which I think probably somebody has put a stop to, Zach. Someone has put the handbrake on at this point. And you are standing... No, it's still spinning.
Still going.
Okay, Canada is still spinning.
If anyone did take the handbrake and turn it on, I then went off behind it and turned it off again.
No. And you see...
My telescope.
You see the master of the tower, the necromancer himself, standing very unfirmly with his staff. In fact, he started to slump on it, the strength he had mustered briefly, leaving his body as soon as he had summoned it up. He is on borrowed time. Remember that mat of crazy hair, the long eyebrows he has been under for a long time. Mora, his skeletal steward, rushes up and starts to comfort him and kind of hoist him up. You have Arcta, now revealed, formerly known as Squirt, is also there, ravaged by battle, but breathing heavily. But, you know, there's a light in her eyes and she looks like she's feeling a bit alive again. And you also see Milos de Aranu, the leader of the four coins, looking somewhat confused as he kind of recounts his bearings. He's looking around like, what on earth? And who is this? And what is that? And there's the way up into this room. And there is another spiral staircase where Mora disappeared to get the master staff before leading up. What do you three want to do?
Can I roll to shave the necromancer?
Shave. You want to shave the necromancer?
Does anyone have like a fixer?
Actually, let's all shave the necromancer, guys. Like, why not? It's a holiday.
Right. Roll with advantage.
Do you not think we've got a spell for that, Surly?
That's a four, Liam.
Four, but I've got advantage.
You have got advantage.
I have got advantage.
Yeah, that's true. Oh, that's a 19. What is 19. That sleight of hand?
Okay. I think that's a pompadour. Yeah.
That's you... just like you with your tiny knife just whittling away perfectly, like a hedge.
Yeah. like the finest merino wool. You pull back that top layer and you see this magnificent growth underneath. No, he's very much being helped by Morin as you approach with your clippers.
I would like to point out I'm not actually going to shave him.
All right, sorry. It was just so out of keeping for the very serious tone of this D&D podcast.
Yeah. We've done much dumber shit than that already.
That is true, yeah.
I think I'm going to... Are there any remnants of the Banshee, or did it just disappear?
So the Banshee kind of dispersed in that cloud of weird otherworldly, like left behind that robe, but that's about it.
Such a Bethesda, like, loot whore.
Yeah, I really
want to shake it down. Whatever it had, I can nick. I think the economy of this world.
I think, initially I was going to say I'd go and loot that, but actually I think Glitch is going to go and look out of the broken window and see if he killed two people.
Nope, just one. I killed the other.
Oh yeah, you killed one. I brought them back and then knocked them both off. I want to see how that's going.
Yeah, gosh, I'd have forgotten about Kara. Actually, go and look through the kind of the broken bit of glass. Maybe that's probably the best place.
Yeah,
to
and just sort of look. Peer over the edge. Give and me be a, like, I really hope they're alive.
Give me a perception check.
Okay. 13.
13. Okay. With a 13, you can see the twinkling lights of Bollocks Deep below you. You can see that it's slightly less kind of otherworldly still. It's a bit more, feels a bit less creepy, to be honest. Mm-hmm. And you cast your eyes, you can't see any movement down there at all. You kind of look over the edge of the tower and you can just see a kind of mess at the bottom.
Oh, fuck, I think I've done a murder.
I think that was particular. Kind of optimistic that you weren't going to have done a murder, dude.
It seemed like such a good idea at the time.
It was a fucking
but now
great
I'm
idea. It was a life and death situation. We acted the way we needed to.
That is true.
And in the spirit of that, I'd like to go to the remaining coin and...
the one coin. There are
two coins.
Yeah,
there
we've
are
already
two.
Revealed that she's not a real coin. She's like an actual...
She's
princess.
A chocolate coin.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe, can I like... I'm actually going to do that. I'm going to comfort him.
Okay.
To both comfort him, but also crucially remove any suspicion that I might have stabbed his friend in the face.
Dude, get his hat.
Which I think I did, right? I did kill his friend.
Yeah. I mean, I'm glad that Zach is owning up to this.
Yeah. All right, cool. Well, let's make sure that Teddy doesn't have any real world repercussions.
you head over to Milos. Remember, he's got this very kind of fine facial hair, and it's almost as if his moustaches are drooping slightly.
Oh, is he the one with the hat that you want me to steal? Is it Milos's hat?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
He does have this fine, wide-brimmed hat with a feather in it. Remember, he's a bard. He's all about performance. And he's taken it off and held it under his arm. And he says, friend, dear friend, I think I have you to thank for my life. But I fear those of my comrades may be unaccounted for. Tell me, what happened to us?
I actually, I'd like to... I don't know what happened to you, friend. I'm very sorry about this. The last time we saw you was after we made the friendly wager and we made it on our merry way to Bollocks Deep and just ended up getting here first. We actually swerved the Banshee kind of by mistake, really. We didn't know where that came from.
The Banshee,
and
yes. Oh, my word.
By the time you came here, we had to... Two of your friends have sadly passed away.
No, no. And he looks around. Not Carr and... Where is my brother?
Yes, him. He's unfortunately...
Oh, heavens!
I just kind of... Although, very, very good. I gesture to the window. So it's like...
Very sensitive of you.
Fell out. No, it's like... They
although, that's pretty a cool hole,
no,
right?
No, it's like they fell out of the window. Not, we killed them. That's the point. There's a window thing.
Give me a...
Melee fight.
Gravity's the bastard here, my friend.
And yeah. But I'm by the window looking out, trying to be like, I wonder if they're definitely dead.
Yeah, but that's also... That almost helps the... That helps the... That does. I'm not lying. I'm just letting him connect dots that I have placed where I want them.
And it looks like I tried to save them because I've just realized...
Being strategic with the truth.
Yeah, I'm a puppet master of the truth.
If I'm over by the window, I am also totally unconscious. I've just remembered... Well, I'm like... I was on naught hit points. I was doing death saves, so maybe I've like crawled over there. Like, so I look fucked over by there. So yeah, that's supporting evidence that maybe they fell. And
yeah, of course that is supporting evidence. Yeah. Also, the main bit of evidence is they're not in this room and there's a hole in the wall. I think that's the...
Also, could someone help me? like anytime.
We'll deal with that in a minute because you and I are both very close to death.
You got popped up, remember? By,
I'm 10.
Yeah.
All right, cool. I kick Patty.
That'll kill me. Give me another fucking death. Just knock me out.
Milos, I think...
Let me put an arm around him, maybe. Like,
yeah, give me a performance check with advantage. We'll call it a deception check. We'll call it a economy with the actuality check, which will function as a deception check. It won't be very hard.
I think if you get enough
performance or... So that's just charisma for me, isn't it?
Deception, yeah.
That's where that comes from. I just haven't got an advantage in it. Okay.
I reckon if you get a nat 20, you're going to kiss him.
Can I have the dice tower, please? Yeah, thank you very much, buddy. All right, that was a 15 plus 2. So that's a 17.
Okay.
Right. 17.
Rad.
Just to make sure I don't get the 20. I don't.
Okay, it was. Thanks for checking. It was.
I wanted to neck him, so that's very personal choice.
The threat of necking was very real. He, you see, you know, tears fill his eyes. He's already crumpled on the floor, and he starts saying, "I will compose the sweetest opera, the finest oratorio to commemorate their memory. I cannot believe my dearest heart. You know, he's my brother." Can you believe it?
I do. I actually, you know what I do? I'm going to lean in close here and I'm just going to kind of grab
whisper
him.
Whisper in his ear.
No, in a, so this is going to be, is it going to be Jackery? You laugh. He's not the most compassionate of, or half-orcs.
I'm waiting for you to throw him out the window. That's what I think is about to happen.
I feel like he'd have some sort of, he was a barbarian, isn't it? And they're all a bit like, they lose people in battle all the time. I'm just going to lean in and like kind of go, it was an honorable death.
Aww.
And then I just give him a little hug. It's like, just remember him.
Aww.
And then I throw him out. No,
I launch this man.
That was a genuine, I'm making up for the fact that I had the option to not kill his brother, and for some reason I did anyway.
I think in that second you are in the way that you have been since your bodies were swapped, you are lost in a moment. When Zraka did this to one of his comrades, one of his tribesmen, one of his tribes fellows.
I'm going to go with tribesmen, yeah.
Who'd have that been?
Ooh. I'm thinking it would have been... Actually, maybe if someone did it to him.
Okay.
Maybe it's probably like... I like the idea of him, before he was a merciless killer, maybe being like just a kind of, you know, a functional killer. so maybe he was
just
like,
somewhat guilty killer.
A normal killer, yeah. Like killing
a Tuesday killer,
killing because it was necessary rather than because he could. I don't know, they were hunting and, you know, one of their hunting party fell off a cliff, some shit like that. But
it was an honourable death. Yeah. He wasn't looking at all where it was going. he was reading a book and it fell off the cliff. It was honourable.
It was all part of the hunt.
He chased a lemming off a cliff.
And the guy who's leading the hunt does the nice thing to him. Yeah, he says, don't worry about it. It was all right.
Don't worry about it.
He was a fucking idiot.
Remember him.
He knew the dangers of Big Cliff Rock.
All right.
And yet, let's all live
in a world where I didn't say fell off a cliff. And I had something better in my head at that one time.
I'm sorry to put you on the spot, man. That was not honourable of me.
But either way, I'm trying to do Milo's little flavour.
As you hold this shuddering wreck of a, you know, by Zraka's standards, a weakling,
and you
comfort him, well. you flash back to this moment, seared in your memory, when you were a young half orcish man, when a hunting trip went badly wrong, when one of the clan died on your watch.
Oh my god!
And
you've made that so much.
Make
more
sure he doesn't read my books.
I was doing it from like I was sad and comforted.
I'm saying
not, I was
you're
blamed.
On cliff watch no. duty.
Your watch, not your responsibility. Okay.
But don't take your eyes off that big cliff.
You had one job, Draka.
I'm trying to create a really beautiful, like, pathetic moment
make
here.
The drama.
Sorry.
No,
it's fine. Now it's now it's, no, now, it's
now it's silly. Is it?
Clown hunting college. And this that lovely heartfelt moment fills your little eyes.
That was actually good. I'm
glad you're happy.
I actually attended Clown Hunting College, Oxford.
Did you? And you're back in the room with Milos. He seems, I mean, you know, as comforted as a man can be when he's lost his brother and one of his friends in one fell swoop. He says, "Well, I guess you won the wage then."
Do you think because I just had a flashback, we've hugged for a little bit too long? Did I just go up into the distance?
You wake up and he's just like pulling his mouth away from yours.
Okay. You are totally right. We did win the wager. And well, unfortunately we will be collecting. But that's for another
time. Yes, one song, I believe. Well, I'll go see Avarana about that, but it appears you're here on some other business. What do you want with the old wizard? I don't know anything beyond that we came here and were assailed in that spooky house, and now we're at the top of a tower and there's all sorts of magic going. Friend, I don't need answers. I feel like I need to leave.
Sit down, maybe.
Yes, a cup of tea. A cup of tea.
There is a rat. Can I, Mora? Mora, I'd like to start giving orders.
Mora,
tea, please.
You look over and Mora is still kind of attending to his master. And Mora says, yes, impendingly, sir. Just dealing with my actual boss for a second.
That's okay. It's just I'd like you to put it on the list.
Right. Yes, sir. Yes,
anything
sir.
Else? Anyone want anything else?
Could someone stabilize me like a bit?
He is stabilized. You are stabilized.
I'm just dying gently.
No, but you've got one hit point left, which means you're not going to be... No, you've got... Why is there a one written there?
Because there was one and then it was none.
You can't possibly still be...
After a fight, you sort of come to your senses.
Yeah,
don't you?
Right?
You do. I mean, you're meant to be stabilised, but I think you're on your feet, Pads. I'm not making you cruel. I think maybe Glitch is doing it dramatically anyway.
Yes. I do like
so
that,
hurt.
Yeah.
So hurt.
Yeah, that's exactly
how I won't step into the light, Father. No. Papi. Liam, we'll come to Votic, who's finally been relieved of roping duties.
Yeah, God.
After a couple of episodes worth.
I think I've leveled up my old biceps.
Yeah, those guns are looking good, man. Those sailor guns.
Yeah.
Anything you
Someone
want?
Get a vet, because these swans are sick.
What is that?
Wow.
That's amazing.
You've never heard that before.
No, I've never heard that before. I've also never seen it accompanied with that action.
You could have just claimed that for your own there. We wouldn't have been wiser. Is there anything you're doing in this little scene at the moment other than checking out your own swans?
I think I'd like to, because obviously... Milos was at least like semi under the influence, not drunk. Well, I don't know. Maybe he
Could
was.
Have been.
He
which
looks
one's
like
which,
a
by the way? Sorry, just to be really clear because I've confused it already. The one that's alive is
Milos the Aranu, the half elven bard.
And what was his brother's name?
Ras.
Ras.
All right,
cool. Yeah. Sorry, Liam. Watch it.
Well, Arcta was there and basically saw all of this, so I think I'm going to check on her and make sure she's okay.
Okay, you see her kind of off to one side of the room. She's just staring at what was the banshee, still kind of like with sword and shield out, still kind of lost in the battle that was. But she sees you coming over and says, hello, friend, piano friend.
how you doing?
Not great. You know, I've not been doing this for a long time. It may surprise you to know, but this has been the worst day so far of doing this, whatever this is. Do you do this a lot?
I've done a fair bit of this, and it's never fun when you have to take any life, but if it's someone you know, it's even harder.
He says, yes, I'm sure you're right, and I don't really wish to do it again, but then...
She stabs me.
Yeah, she stabs me. It's got to happen.
She's quietly.
Long live the king, bitch. she says, but perhaps it's not for me. Anyway, do you know what happened here? I'm still in the dark. I saw that creature, and she points, gestures to the banshee. But there's not something I'm familiar with. Is this necromancy? Is this something else?
I mean, Glitch is probably a person who'd be able to tell you that a bit more accurately.
Oh, him? And she like practically rolls her eyes and looks over at the figure looking through the window and says, "He is a deeply, deeply terrifying man."
And I wave.
I think
she shudders.
My ears are full of blood, so I assume something nice is happening.
I think you'll find there's a good man inside there.
Must be
hey.
Hey. Hey. Here hard. We go. All right. Here we go.
Do you look at the camera at that point?
I do, yeah. I wink at the podcast lens.
The Looney Tunes. Comes in around you.
I know this might be a bit... There's no good way to say this, but... Are you Arctur Caer Leon?
Dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum.
No.
She doesn't even put up a pretense of pretending. Not she, she jerks her head around and says, "Who told you?"
I'm a friend of gotta remember my character's full name. What's Taryn's surname?
Taryn the Dread.
Taryn the Dread Pirate Roberts.
I don't think she she doesn't have
a
surname, does she?
No.
She's certainly not one that Arctur would know.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure she doesn't know.
What was the fake name we gave Amelina Kreb? I'm acquaintances with Amelina Kreb.
And her eyes kind of light up. She's like, Amelina! Oh, why, it must be months since I saw her. And so you're from Veld as well?
Aye, I am.
Oh, well, this is a strange coincidence. But I'm touched that Amelina remembered me. I was just some girl with delusions of adventuring and some noble with no idea of what's involved. And why, how is she? Where is Amelina?
I wish I could tell you. I don't know. But I think you did. I think you made more of an impression on her than you realise. I think she saw some of herself in you.
That's kind of you to say, but the drink she had and the swordplay, the wordplay. And she was friends with Cassius too. And her eyes kind of sparkle for a second.
And I'm sick in the background. I keep vomiting different bits out.
Do I need one of these?
How did you fall in with these coin fellas?
Oh, well, that's a bit of a long tale, but in short, the last time I saw Amelina, in fact, was the night that she freed me from the city of Veld. You know, if you know I'm Arctur Caer Leon, you know who my father was, you know there are a lot of people out to murder me, and probably worse. And I resolved not to be a prisoner to anyone else's demands or whims, so first I went by the Strail Blubber Consortium, I joined a small shipping placement that was tedious work until we were attacked by orcs at sea, and then I sailed against the Summer Islanders, and, well, that didn't go too well, I was sent home for contracting scurvy rather quickly, then I just fell in for some other salubrious types, and we raided tombs and defeated bandits, and then I rescued a farm full of pigs, and I met young Milos over there, who was also on secondment, and he told me of all the wonders he'd seen, and why we came to Thorpling, we have found some drinks, and then, the next thing I knew, we were following you on another adventure, and I thought, finally, I'd found something a bit less dark and full of death.
Nope.
It looks like I was wrong. And you too, what's your name?
Oh, I'm Vatic.
Vatic. Vatic, and you're in Veld. What brings you all the way from Veld to here?
What did bring us here?
Didn't we get distracted by a sheep and then go to a tavern?
No. We were
trying to find the wizard.
No, we were trying to find a very... Yeah, the wizard specifically.
We've...
Can we tell her about jumping... Don't tell her about jumping planes.
I'm not going to tell her. Okay. We've been trying to get hold of... Is he an astromancer or is he a necromancer?
Necromancer.
Yeah. We've been trying to get hold of this necromancer for a little while now. We've got some questions we need answering.
Oh, right. Adventurous business. And again, she almost cracks a smile with this. Despite the situation, she says, well, that does sound exciting. I wish you all the best, Vatic. I wish you... Thank you for all your help. And despite not being able to save all of the coins, I think Milos owes you his life at least, and I certainly owe you mine, so... And she puts out a kind of a bloodied hand and says, I hope we meet again soon.
You don't owe us anything, trust me. But thank you anyway. And I take the hand and I shake it.
And then I pull and she falls out the window.
just before you leave, how did you get over the bridge thing? Because... We definitely put it up.
Grappling
the bridge
hook.
Back down.
Grappling hook, mate.
She slings off. She looks at the shoulder and says, yes. And she swings this grappling hook around and tests the way and says, yes, this thing. It was
all right, Loz.
An old friend left it behind and I couldn't see it go to waste.
Is she going to fuck off?
She and Milos are kind of, she's walking towards Milos. It looks as if they are getting out of here, maybe trying to find
All right.
Kara before they leave.
I'd like my grappling hook back.
Well, and you can tell the DM, and the DM's going to do fuck.
No, I know. I'm just
going
to work out how. How am I going to do this?
A voice from above says, "Good fucking luck."
All right. I tell you what. I've been very nice to. Oh no, is that going to be bad? I was going to. You guys tell me what you think of this. I was been very nice to my loss.
Yep.
But it looks like they're about to fuck off without paying. So.
Ooh.
Well,
he said he's going to talk to Avrana, but maybe we need some kind of collateral. You know?
Yeah.
Maybe a bit of, is that the right word? Or did
collateral
I
it is,
yeah. Yeah, okay, cool. You know, like 1 in 2,000 words I say, I'm just chancing it.
All right. Yeah, so I'm kind of thinking, maybe I might make that suggestion. It's my grappling hook. I want it back.
She knows she just that it's found Rapids. It. She thinks it's Cassius's. Doesn't she?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's not helpful to me in my quest to manipulate someone.
Why don't you punch them?
I'm trying to avoid that. I'm not trying to avoid that. Also, I'm on a bit too low health and not enough spells.
Yeah.
Try and waste her.
Well, you could just ask, just be like, well, one of us needs to come with you to fulfill this thing. Why don't you wait for us down there? So we could try and keep one thing and then all head back to Thorpley together or whatever once we've interrogated this
nick
wizard.
It at some
yeah!
Point. Yeah, I'm going to do that. all right. Yeah. Squirt.
Yes, hello.
Are the two of you leaving?
And she and Milos look at each other and say, well, we thought we'd... I imagine we'll go back to Thorpling. And Milo says, yes, I will try and recover the... And he kind of sobs, remains of our comrades, and then we will return them to Thorpling, and then we will engage Avarana. And he kind of very dramatically says, I know that's what you want. You want your song, and you will have your
actually,
fame.
What's your name? Milos. on that point, you know what? I think it might be easier if we all try and cross the chasm together. You'll be carrying bodies. We're more than happy to help. Just maybe meet us downstairs and we'll make our way back to Thorpling with you and we can sort out the song back there. You don't worry about it. You just lost your brother. I wouldn't want to put any extra stress on you.
Oh, you're
just
so
just
kind.
Don't run off just yet. We'll meet you downstairs and lend a hand. We've actually got, you know, your cart.
he flies fish and Arctus says yes Milos, I'm afraid I wouldn't be able to get us both over with this old thing, and we'll wait for you downstairs and you conclude your business, gentlemen.
Yes, absolutely lovely. I really want to cast Hunter's Mark on that fucking grappling hook so I always know where it is.
The two of them make for the stairs and the grappling hook practically winks at you.
Oh man, I wink back at that thing. I can't wait to up my traversal somehow.
And just like that, the only thing you've ever loved walks down the stairs out of your view.
Yeah, but
I'm talking to you,
yeah,
Zach.
Yeah, very, very much out of my view, but I know it's not fucking off anywhere. Mm-hmm. It's staying downstairs and waiting for my help. If I have to push her into the chasm, I will. I'm sorry.
Surprising no one.
I'm sorry, Liam, but it's my thing. You had your lovely heartfelt moment with a character that Laurie lovingly created. I want my inanimate object back.
And this whole time, I've been crawling over to this necromancer, right? And
I love that you're still crawling. We established
still
your fight.
Established. You don't need to crawl.
We established
your fight.
I want
someone to recognize that I'm hurt, so I'm really, really hamming it up.
Yep.
And I get up to there, I'm like covered in blood, and I'm like all this sort of stuff. And I get
blood
up to
that
the
you've
necromancer.
You've found on the floor and just rubbed it on yourself to make it
seem right. And I like, yeah, it's like dirt under the face. And I like get up to the necromancer, and I like very, my like shaking arms very slowly taken by the collar, and I go, tell me, who is Candu Probly? And is he your magic chef?
Mora moves to remove your hands from his collar, and the wizard says, no, oh, Mora,
where is he? Swarmy! And I shake him, and I'm like, I have to know.
And he's like, oh, calm down, young lad, calm down.
I love the idea that this fight, like, you're holding him, he's very frail.
We're both so
you're very frail.
Yeah.
Like, this is basically just two men propping one another up, going, ah, 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 ah.
We saved your basilisk. Excellent. We saved your town.
Grunkles is alive!
Grunkles is alive, thanks to us.
Oh, happy day!
Maybe he might have to drink through a straw for a while, but...
Grunkles does love milkshakes.
Thank fuck for that.
That's what I always... But I have to know... What is behind that door downstairs?
Young man, please unhand my lapels if you would, so briefly. Please let me, and thank you, Mora. And he pushes off Mora and says, thank you, Mora, that will be enough. And he collects himself and leaning on his staffs and he says, friends, I thank you for all of your aid in releasing me from the, yes, young master, what, thank you. You, young man, you are the one who found me then and found me here. I still am not sure quite how you managed that, but yes, young friend, all will be revealed. I will happily tell you what. And he winks at you conspiratorially. I will summon Candu properly herself to my inner chamber and I will treat the three of you to some of her delights.
She is a chef. Brilliant.
Can I roll a perception check?
Yeah, what do you want to find out?
I want to know whether we can trust this guy. Because I've just occurred to me that he is...
Insight.
Yeah, insight, whatever one it is.
That's the one, yeah.
What is insight?
It's a skill. Yeah.
Wisdom. Yeah, okay, no, I don't. I know what insight is. I mean, in terms of what's the modifier to
it. No, but you don't have any... You might have... Sorry.
No, I don't. I have no proficiency or actual bonus in this, but I just feel like I don't think we can trust... He's killed a lot of people, sewn people back together. Let's see what they're saying.
All right.
That's an 18.
18.
With no modifier.
Based on what he's just said, he seems to be telling the truth. He's saying he is genuinely inviting you up to his room for some refreshment from his magic chef.
All right. Cool. No, that's fine. As long as
it's all I've ever wanted, really.
And he also seems genuinely grateful to the three of you for helping him out. There doesn't seem to be any... hard feelings there.
So it was genuinely a friendly wink. It wasn't the kind of wink.
It wasn't a, I'm lying.
Yeah, that kind of wink.
And he says, Mora, if you'd be so kind as to help an old wizard up the stairs. And he starts clumping up this staircase up to the chamber where Mora disappeared earlier. And Mora looks over their shoulder and says,
gentlemen, if you'd care to accompany the master, find his lodgings above, I believe.
I'll
go with him.
Yeah, let's go.
Yeah, I'm on board.
And the three.
I say that out loud.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, okay then.
And the three
crawling hand over hand.
Yeah,
exactly. Now he can magically walk.
I can summon the strength to do this.
Yeah. He just stands up, brushes himself off, very nice and nonchalant. Yeah, exactly. Like, wanders up. Got what I wanted.
Do you want to meet Candu? It's the whole point of the wager, wasn't it? I don't know. Anyway, let's go.
Nonny, nonny, it's Laurie. It doesn't rhyme, but I'm still your dungeon master, and I'm still here to talk to you about the boring admin stuff in the middle of the podcast, interrupting your listening pressure once more to bring you the middle plane. That's right, ladies and gents, it's back. It's better than ever. We don't really have any improvements, actually, to speak of. It's pretty bare in here, but I've got a new cup holder installed. That's pretty great, so I can have a little swig as we go along. Thanks again for listening to our podcast. This is episode 25. Can you actually bloody believe it? How far we've come. I say how far we've come. We've really not learned anything along the way. But this is the end of the Ballad of Bollocks Deep arc. We really hope you've enjoyed it. We'll be back in 2 weeks' time on the next Fantasy Freaky Friday with a special festive episode. And then it's probably going to be the case that we take a little bit of a break. We've been working really hard to get all these episodes down and ready before the end of the year. It's all ended out quite nicely, I'm sure you'll agree. So forgive us if we take a week or so off in January in the new year while we get our bearings again and start recording the next arc, which we're very excited to share with you guys. So remember, in the meantime, you can always email us at idlefantasypodcast@gmail.com. You can find us on Twitter and Instagram at idlefantasypod. And you can let us know exactly what you think of us and our content there. If you really want to be a very, very special person, you can come on over to iTunes and review our podcast in the store there. Apple Podcasts, as it's now known. That does a huge deal of good for us and helps us reach brand new listeners. And over Christmas, if you're meeting old friends and people who enjoy D&D or might even enjoy our brand of D&D, then do recommend this podcast. That would be the very best Christmas gift you could give us. And after all, what is Christmas if not a time for giving four podcasters a little bit of an ego boost and a rub on the tummy? That's all we really want, isn't it? It's all anyone wants. We will see you on the next Fancy Freaky Friday. That is the 27th of December. Oh, ho, ho, ho. A festive time indeed. Have a very good one. Be excellent to each other. We'll see you very soon. Mwah. Three of you enter a small dark room at the top of this staircase, the top of the tower, as it were, but there are no windows nor any doors, save for the way you just came up. Everything in this room is wreathed in dust. You see, illuminated by a couple more of these pale lanterns built into the walls that light as you enter. Everything here, as I mentioned, is wreathed in dust. A four-poster, goose-feathered stuffed bed that has laid unmade for a decade. A stack of books perilously balanced upon a bedside table. There's a tall, plain wooden stand inside a glass case that has been thrown open. There's a large settee with plump, tasseled cushions, a deep-set armchair with a small pouf at its feet, an empty hearth hewn from that same eerie black stone. The wizard busies himself with kind of starting to clean before he shudders and falls dramatically into the chair, shuddering
cheerily.
Yeah, all right, shuddering cheerily. Thanks, man. Mora runs over to attend before he says, No. Mora runs over to attend before the wizard says, No, please, Mora, I guess. The wizard paws back his thick hair with these shaking hands before, with a moment of realization, he flicks his wrist and he sends the hair retracting into his skull, revealing a very short, well-kempt head of hair. Another flick brings a pair of glasses whizzing from under a pillow on his bed to his eyes. And a final dramatic flick of the wrist sets a small fire, a flame in the fireplace. And he sighs deeply and collapses into the chair while Mora heads over to his bedside table, picks up another small golden bell like the one you saw in his desk downstairs and rings it without a sound. And then goes to stand in the corner, arms together, and watches the four of you. And the wizard says, please, friends, please, sit with me. And gestures to the sofa.
I'm getting on that sofa.
Yeah. I want to be in the middle.
All right.
Okay. I like that.
All right. I'm on the left.
Well, I think the sofa's probably going to tip in one direction then, isn't it?
Hollow bone boy, tiny rockman. Well, rockman's in the middle. He's probably quite dense.
Yeah.
Yeah, dense looks good, true.
And man-child on the end. And he says, Now, my three fine friends, thank you once more. I would ask you your names, but let me tell you first. My name is Arbogast. I am the necromancer of this tower. I don't know what you know of me, but I'm afraid I've been a little out of the loop for a while. As you know, I was trapped in the astral plane, and it seems that several years have passed in my absence. It felt like a lot longer, but let me... Do you know what year it is? Any vague recollection? How long has it been since good old King Caerleon ascended the throne, for example?
You saw 2000 and late. That was ages ago.
Yes. How long exactly?
A decade.
10?
Ooh! And he kind of sits back and like rubs his temples and goes, ooh, that's a while. Oh, dear.
First time that's happened to you, or do you often get lost in the plains?
Yes, well, this was my first time. Yes, let me tell you, I was on an expedition to track the you met some of my townsfolk, did you? How are they down there?
Not good. Like, yeah. Actually super bad.
No, well, I'll tell you what, look, you continue with your story, and I've got some quite, you know, serious follow-ups.
Righto. We are a stone mining town. You see, and a lot of our industry depends on rocks being brought from that blasted mine, which has been out of action for, you know, I've got Ceres knows how long, and we've been trying to keep the town afloat. And anyway, two of the townsfolk, the stonemason and his young apprentice, they came over a bit strange one day.
Not altogether sure what happened, and I'm a necromancer. I'm in the business of linking bodies and souls, and I thought their souls might have gone walkie. So I popped into the astral plane to try and find them. What I thought would be a quick trip into the astral plane anyway, turns out it took 10 bloody years, didn't it? About 25 years ago in my perception, I met young Master Rock Gnome here, who untangled me from an infernal tangle of stuff somewhere in the middle and sent me on my way, and then about 25 years of my time, but sounds like less later, I was being targeted again by this very same Rock Gnome. So tell me, how did you do that?
Well, it's been a bit less than 50 years.
It's been like a week, hasn't
from
it?
From our perspective, aye.
No. bloody Nora, it gets weird.
Bloody Nora.
Is she any relation to bloody...
sorry, I mean bloody John. Yeah, it's a good
one. Well, thing is, we've been trying to get some answers about exactly what you've been talking about, you know, like bodies in, like spirits in different bodies.
Yeah.
And it was at that point I was like, well, I did meet you in the astral plane and that seemed to be your skis. So,
very much so. I am a self-confessed necromancer, quite a good one.
So we hot-footed it over here, and I have to say things have not been good in your absence.
No.
Town's fucked.
Actually,
town's haunted.
That leads to me to my follow-up questions. So you're a necromancer. By all accounts, that seems like quite a good and worthy thing to do.
Oh, it's a fine vocation.
Help out the townspeople.
Preach.
A lot of...
No!
Yeah.
No!
Well, I mean actually, and I whip out my necklace.
No, another Serite too, yep. My boy!
And
tell
I do the handshake.
What is the handshake?
I don't know, but I guess it.
It's just a normal handshake, but you go with your tongue at the same time.
Yeah, it's a little history. We kiss a lot. Yeah.
What is your name? Where did you study? What?
Well, actually, I mean, we haven't met, but we do know each other.
Stop it.
Hey.
What a day of coincidences. First Master Vatic.
Vatic.
Vatic, pardon me. And then Master...
Glitch.
No!
Yeah!
And he probably goes, stop it.
Yes.
Mora!
No, I won't.
Mora, look at... Mora, get a load of this guy. Mora, it's Glitch. He's the one you've been sending me all the very useful parts.
Useful parts, cool letters.
Yes. Well, my goodness, I thought you'd be smaller in real life.
Well, thanks.
What
I'm actually
a tall boy you are.
I'm actually quite a tall boy.
And how is Senor Dampe?
Oh, he's still French or something.
French,
we still haven't quite worked. No,
Spanish,
we haven't worked
Spanish.
Him out yet. No, we think he's Dutch. I can't remember.
Dampe, well, he's
a big dude. Yeah, no,
he's part Goliath. I thought you'd know that.
Oh no, of course I do. I mean, he's huge. Yeah, I saw him the other day. He's keeping things going down at
good. Keeping on the right side of the law, I hope, and he winks.
Oh yeah, he's still cutting up dead people.
Well, there's no need to be so coarse.
Well, you know, hey, it's 2008. I mean, times have shifted since you disappeared.
Oh, that's true, I suppose. Yes, I don't know what the kids are up to these days.
Oh,
yes,
it's all Fortnite and death jokes.
Fortnite?
Never mind. Anyway.
Fortnite. Write that down, Mora. Fortnite. We must get on these cool trends.
I'll teach you about it later. But anyway, Ceres, we share something in common. And it's just a pleasure to finally meet you. I think we've probably got a lot to talk about.
Pleasure's all mine, Mr. Glitch. Pleasure's all mine indeed. You are the finest, I've always said, Mora, haven't I? The finest provider of spleens on the Falster Islands.
Yep, they call me the Spleen Queen.
Yes, yeah, so do they. The Spleen Queen. Well,
yeah.
Very good. Yes, and young master, sorry, I've missed your name, big boy.
Yes, well... We'll get to
you
that.
You must have an almighty spleen, actually. Tell me, do you have any wills
this actually
in place?
This goes hand in hand with my follow-up question. Okay?
I'm going to wean that spleen right
You're
out
You're a
yet.
Necromancer, and it's obviously you seem to be doing quite right by the town. Your profession comes with a lot of killing, maiming, sewing things back together, particularly big fuckers that like to kill us. And also,
mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, I've not known him that long, but I've been into his house and it's a fucking shit show.
It is a shit show. I will
and
fess
I've
up there.
Met Senor Dampy, and again, maybe...
He's a shit show as well.
Yeah, very
no, really
fucking
is,
terrifying.
Yeah.
Well, that's... I'm afraid my supplier's business is no business of mine.
Yeah, but couldn't you justify the fucking, you know, dead things everywhere?
dead things, my boy. It's a very narrow way to look at the world. Let me tell you. When I arrived in this village, it was nothing but a wreck, a shambles. There was an accident several years ago in a mining operation. It killed nearly every working man and woman in this town. And why, when I arrived, I was here to do research, and I started reanimating people, as is my want and my profession. And once I'd preserved the folk who could be preserved and dug into the astral plane and found their spirits, or at least ones that could do a job, I reanimated them and put them to work again. And the village is livelier than it was. I admit it's a little rough around the edges. But and maybe it is unethical, yes, but it was a good move for Bollocks Deep, and yes, I stand by it. And yes, I do obtain body parts, but I don't kill. No, they're already dead. I'm assured by Mr. Glitch and my other suppliers they're no longer needed.
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, we can confirm that the majority of things around his house are dead.
Mm.
Well, what about that? There was a massive fucker in a cast down there.
A little passion project, I must admit.
A little passion project.
Old Elephant Foot Magoo.
Yeah, it was horrific.
Ah, yes, the Elephant Feet were a special little dip from the Summer Islands. Did you look upon it? How's it looking?
It's fucking dead now.
Oh, it was dead to start with. That's a good one. I like that. That's a good one.
Yeah. One of those little...
It's
one of those
very
little...
much all over the floor below us.
One of those little brainy guys got it.
Literally, when we go downstairs, you need to understand.
Why?
Downstairs is a mess. We like, not wantonly, but there is guts... blood, and also I think a lot of glass and water everywhere, and then
intellect of ours.
Yes.
Well,
that was the other thing.
He started to look over.
Are they
to
do with you for fuck's sake too? Is that your thing?
He started to look over to Mora to kind of, you know, check in about the damage, and he hears intellect of ours. He says, "What? Intellect of ours?
Well, yeah, but a fuck ton of them."
A very good, very funny story. It's very good, very clever.
No. We've been plagued by, since we got into this fucking town, there has been every manner of things that seem like they could be killed or used effectively by some sort of evil wizard, like what were they called? Intellect of Arrows.
Intellect of Arrows,
yes,
yeah.
Thank you, Glitch. Also, a banshee was just chilling around. Like, there's also that going on.
Oh, that'll just be old Esme.
Okay, well, she's now dead too.
She's dead as well, yeah.
Again,
she was before.
We'll move on from this joke eventually. But honestly, your town of death has, in your 10 years of absence, manifested into quite a serious, dangerous place.
You tell me.
The surrounding area
quite
poorly.
You're telling me that you think that the bunch of intellect devourers just popped over for a make-believe world and started hanging around and turning all my little creations on each other? Dip boy. If this is some kind of college prank, then I'm not buying it.
Okay, well, I mean, I don't know how to resolve this. I tell you, why don't we make a little walk downstairs? I mean, there's, apart from anything else, I know that there's an intellect of our quite literally plastered to your ceiling.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe we have a look at that.
Real. They're totally real.
There's like there's one that Paddy killed, and then one that Paddy...
Oh, I see. I thought you meant this in a living one.
No, they're all dead, but they are definitely still kind of very much oozing downstairs.
Jim's inside.
I was going to say. What did you think would happen when you left a portal to the astral plane open for 10 years?
Yes.
10 years. Well, yes.
And a town of dead things.
But I didn't know that they were. One sec. Mora, would you go get the... And it points Mora over to a stack of books. Says, get the one that says, Intellect of Hours. Yes. Yes.
I mean, if it's helpful, I've got this here, and I bent out my book of,
Forest Guides and Monsters.
You stole off him.
Ah, you have a connoisseur, my man.
Absolutely. I find him a little bit inconsistent in terms of authority and credibility, but, you know, it's colourful nonetheless.
Yes, but I know Voro. I know what Voro has to say about intellect of ours and make-believe fairy tales, he would say.
I mean, he was pretty spot on in his description.
Why, you're telling me you saw?
Saw and killed at least four.
Mm.
Four?
This is
three? Three or four?
I don't know. Enough for them to definitely be real.
And also attacking.
Look, I hate to come in here like a health inspector being like, oh, you've left the place in such a state. We're going to shut you down if you don't clean your act up. But it's a fucking travesty, this place.
Absolutely well said, Wattic. This is, honestly, sir, Take some responsibility.
Also, I think the stonecutter and his apprentice in town were like dog people or something. I'm just throwing that in at this juncture.
What?
That is true.
Were
they dogs?
Yeah, there was like one of them. Like some of those townsfolk are like bestial. I was wondering what was going on with that.
Oh, yeah, that's also another thing. But there's been so much fucking horror.
I think you can play naughty tricks with brains and lots of sort of swapping and things like that. I recognize this anywhere. A devout follower of Ceres would know all about that sort of thing.
Ooh, give me a... All right, ooh, what's that going to be? A persuasion with advantage, because you've been very well set up by Teddy.
Okay.
13.
Maybe 13. 13, he pauses and he's still very shaky. He's still not really moving. He says, my friends, I'm sorry to be so argumentative. I will trust you. Intellect devourers, right. Well, if there were such things, you would know that they sap the intellect from creatures, hence the name, sorry to be... So perhaps what you saw, if the stonemason and his boy were around and living, perhaps they had their brains entirely devoured, and perhaps you, Master Vortica, are correct in that they entered through my portal. If it was open for so long, maybe they crossed over from the astral plane where they are... Well, there aren't such things as if they were sent by mind flayers, if they were real too. But what do they look? All right, tell me what they look. Don't look at your book. What do they look like?
Have you played Half-Life?
I've been known to dabble with Freeman. Yes.
Also, remember in Super Mario 64 on some of the water levels, there were those like water skimmers that had the big sort of like that.
They kind of look like if you were to put a brain on two gross feet and then
two more gross feet
walk around.
Yeah.
Like, you know, kind of suspended by the feet leg things. And they were very brainy.
Most
good irregular. Good kind of punt height.
Most irregular.
On the ground.
And he starts doing some maths. Just as he starts, kind of disappearing into his own thoughts, there's a, you hear the patter of clawed feet on the stairs beneath you.
Grunkles!
What did she sound like?
Oh, I thought it was going to be a fucking intellect devourer.
There's one right there. And the first thing you see is an enormous silver tray stacked with steaming pots and pans and bowls and a delicious aroma. And it wobbles very irregularly as it comes up the stairs. And you hear, Master's back! Master back! Master back! Master back! And chucks this heaping plate of stuff with a central bowl of stew that just smells incredible. That thing has been... That's been simmering away for a good decade.
I'm picturing like Ethiopian kind of like stew with the bread around the outside.
Yeah, like the injera.
With
the injera around the
inside. Yeah, that's the shit.
Okay, it's on a massive, fluffy, bubbly bread. There are all sorts of vegetables kind of cooked up around it as well.
I'm liking it.
And carrying them up is a scrawny kobold wearing a chef's apron. She is kind of a pale gold in colour, not quite like Cassius, but a similar, that draconic snout. And Arbogar says, "Oh, Candu, it's such a pleasure to see you." Candu's like dancing around, says, Master, eat the soup.
You're even more annoying than I hoped. This is brilliant.
I knew it. I knew a character called Candu Proly. That excited Paddy for a fucking whole character arc, and we gave Loz 9 episodes worth of time to come up with the most irritating voice.
I've already spoken to Candu through the door, and I've been excited ever since that moment.
Wait a minute, is that a relative of Candu, probably?
Candu through the door.
Loz, are any of the like bowls that are they like dancing, or you got any like in chat like be a guest be, or like is it like fun as well, magic fun?
No,
bollocks.
It's a serious
fucking dancing gold dragon that's brought you soup.
Yeah, that is pretty cool.
It's a soup dragon. It's literally a soup dragon.
It's a soup dragon.
And the master is kind of like cajoling with Candu briefly. And Mora brings over a couple of books and papers. Says, "Master, your papers." And the master says, Arbogar says,
"Ah, yes, thank you, Candu. I am so grateful to see you. Thank you so much for keeping this place around. I hear there's been a bit of a kerfuffle downstairs. You wouldn't mind seeing to it." Clean, master, clean.
Kobold dances back down the stairs, away to do her duties.
Oh, what a shame. That fun character has left.
Oh no, that character is no longer in the room. We can no longer hear it. Thank God. Also, that's a really big fucking mess for a tiny little kobold to deal with.
She's got ways. And between Mora pouring out steaming bowls of soup and tea, which he hands to each of you, and you're welcome to have if you want, the master starts licking his fingers and flicking through books and papers and says,
"Yes, well, look. I'm afraid all I do know about these intellect of ours," and he seems really energized now. "I'm afraid all of this is completely hypothesized. An old college pal of mine, Professor Hoyle, he's an astronaut, so you wouldn't
let me stop you right there." And I've drank so much soup, I'm like twice the size.
Give me a soup check.
Constitution soup check.
14-1.
You are a big fool boy.
Does the soup? In a serious note, does the soup and tea restore our spell slots and or health?
By the end of this little tea party, you'll be back up to
you'll
get a lightning. You'll get a big tum buff.
So, oh, yeah.
You a big old tum.
I think the second he first mentions Fed, I mean, one of us would fucking jump it. We'd
I think we all spit our soup out.
We know him.
We all spit our soup out
into each other's mouths.
Yeah, exactly. Like a perfect triangle.
We all go.
And then, like, soup spit take.
Just constant, and it just 15
into each other's mouths.
Yeah, so at the same time, we all go, "What?"
Fred Hoyle. We know him. Actually,
stop it! You guys are connecting up the wazoo.
Yeah, exactly. We actually, yes. He owes us one. We rescued him. Well,
he actually
I'm connected to him by some kind of magic coin.
What?
I'm on his speed dial. I can't call him. I'm out of credit.
Out of Fed. Very much.
I love the fact that Fed clearly gave you a normal coin and said, "That's how you can contact me."
Yeah. Exactly. Just talk to this coin whenever you feel lonely.
Yeah. I also love the fact that an NPC that Laurie created realized that they didn't want an open collection with Paddy. He was just like, "No, I don't want this to be both ways. Like, I want there to be a very clear delineation of I'll call you, never ever call me."
I think that's good. He says,
"Well, this does get more curious and more curious by the second. Let me tell you what Master Hoyle and myself will have hypothesized. We understand that the longer, it's all very complicated. My working theory is this. I went to the astral plane for a fucking long time. I have been maintaining the connections between these bodies and spirits in this town to make sure they stay. I do have to redo some of the charms on a monthly, a weekly basis to make sure nobody gets a bit too weird. And, you know, the skeletons need a bit more, the fleshy boys a bit less, somewhere in between. I think that I went so long that the wards keeping these bodies and spirits attached grew weaker. Right? This is my thing. And then the insect devourers, if they did appear, maybe popped in and supplanted some of them. Is this what you're telling me?"
Yep, that's exactly what happened.
Also, as I might say again, very responsible necromancy.
Yes, good. I was trying to help.
Yep, no, you absolutely smashed it.
Oh, I know, I really did. Oh, I did bad, didn't I? Oh,
I mean, I don't want you to feel bad, but the two people are dead.
What?
Two people are dead.
Who the hell would?
I mean, to be fair, me.
I smack what's got on the thigh. I just shout, "I will tell him," and like squeeze it as hard as I can so he shuts the fuck up.
Oh no, my two people have died.
Oh, there was another party, or the reason we came here was to find you, but then we found a way to make it kind of
gambling
and fun.
It was gambling as well.
And narrative kind of inducing.
Another trend, look into gambling with lives is cool now, apparently.
Yep, super cool. Nope, also, the dwarves in town are dead.
He said that. I do not want to align myself with gambling.
No, not Breg and Breggy.
Yeah, Breg and Breggy.
They're both dead, and also great guys. Two of the actual live people that came here to try and find out the mystery of Bollocks Deep.
My peons, I may be able to resuscitate your friends, your
co-adventurers. Oh, good lord, do we want that?
I think we do.
How good are you at resuscitating, like lumps of jam over rocks?
Jam lumps?
Yes, or like, well, I mean, maybe they might not be so, but I kind of look over at the hole.
I think they're pretty jammy, mate.
Also, if you gave it a go, I'd love to watch and learn a bit.
Yeah,
you know,
I mean, that's also disgusting. Two of the others kind of aren't dealing with it very well, and I mean, if you can bring them back kind of whole, that'd be fine, but they've already kind of unfortunately seen what a husk of a man looks like when he's brought back from the dead, so maybe that's not the best thing we could do.
Ah, yes.
Look over at Glitch.
Mr. Kind of like, Glitch, you didn't.
I did.
Oh, you wicked boy.
I did.
What? Tell me, what was it? Was it Skellington? Was it Zomboy? Was it something else?
It was Zomboy.
Oh,
it was Big Zomboy.
Well, if you know how to do it, then you probably don't need my aid, but I will happily look at your friends and try to reattach their spirits, if at all possible.
Thank you. Also, while this is going on, this horrible camaraderie that you've kind of come developed over this death, I just want to like lean into Liam and just be like, I'm so uncomfortable here.
It's horrible. I don't know why they're so jolly.
They've even made me rethink death. Now, I can't even...
look, friends, I'm sure part of you, and he winks at Glitch, is interested in my advanced embalming techniques and all the super cool stuff that we can do, and he winks again. But why did you come to me? You can't have just been here to help an old man. What's it? Was there something you wanted? You said, why did you seek me out again?
Cards on the table.
Ah, yes, Mora, another trend. Cards again. Yes, yes.
I'm trapped in a different body.
Oh, God.
What?
Yes, so am I.
What?
I wanted to speak to them before we told you, because I'm so uncomfortable with all the death and the sewing of bodies back together. But we're all kind of dealing with a thing, okay? There's been a thing that happened to us. Some of us are dealing with it better than others. I'll look over at Glitch.
My boy, growing up is very natural. If you've got a bit hairier, that's fine.
Well, I have. But that's separate. I'm happy with that. We ran into a Vandra. Heard of her? Did she ring any bells?
Vandra. I recall hearing of a sorceress of some skill, drow, yes. Perhaps, but nothing.
She in the time that you were away developed some more skills.
Ah,
and became quite a serious.
Another necromancer.
Villain?
Necromancer, maybe?
She was just bad. She wasn't.
Bad.
She was very, very aggressive. And
yeah,
she's bad.
He is, at this point, he motions to Mora and he says, Mora, take some notes. And Mora, out of his top, the pocket of his suit, pulls that little notebook and would lick the pencil if he could, and then starts scrawling down
This stays between us. I mean, that's
oh, yes, just myself and my manservant. Okay, right, Mora is very trustworthy.
I got to be real with you. I'm totally not a necromancer, but I am enjoying it. And yes. I'm not him.
Oh, you're not Glitch.
No, but I sort of am, like, in a way. Like, that's
well,
part
yes, Glitch. Okay, so but you're telling me...
Well, look, okay, look.
We're all sort
short,
of two people.
We got into a fight with Vandra, we won the fight, and as a last act of revenge, the previous people, our previous selves, very fantastic, good-looking, and all-round great heroes. Really good heroes. He did not have wings. It was made very clear to him a lot of the time that he could not fly. Also, this wonderful little gnome, and I gesture down, was a beautiful woman, and I gesture up. And,
my gosh!
And so we were them. We fought her. She then proceeded to click her fingers,
yep.
And we were suddenly these three.
Yeah, fucked. Yeah, that's the word.
Fucked is the term. I mean, we're getting on.
We're having a nice time. I'm not going to lie.
We could have been put into worse bodies. Maybe not Votic. Like, he's struggling. But, I mean, I'm happy with... I'm just slightly pinker than I was before.
Right, so, sorceress, not necromancer. How... I've got to ask, how does she do it?
Wish ring.
Was it the wish ring?
Oh, fuck. Oh, shit.
Oh, yes.
No.
Don't you?
Maybe.
Oh, my boys, I'm so sorry. I fear I've given you false hope. There is only so much you can do against a spell as powerful as Wish. It has the ability to alter reality to its very user's whim. What do... Ooh, this is giving me a big brain erection, though. Oh, what a puzzle. Ooh.
I think I have an idea. Do you know a genie?
A what?
A genie.
A who?
A wishing genie.
My boy, if you bring to me more tall tales, I'm afraid I will not help you at all. I thought you have gone down in my estimations, Mr. Glitch. A genie. What a silly idea.
I just like to keep, you know...
You think I've got a magic lamp hidden up my skirts?
For a wizard, you're very,
weird about magic. Like, I've got to be real with you. We've seen some shit today.
Yeah. And, most of it, your creation.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes, I'm a necromagic
wizard. Magic.
Oh, I'm sorry. And I suppose there's magic shoes, are there?
I feel like I'm talking to three bloody hicks from the countryside who have never been to an arcane collegium, have you?
No.
Have any of you studied?
No.
I'm apparently a messiah, so I've kind of done it all, and I think everything's feasible at this point. Is there a way to get another wish ring?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes, there are ways, of course, but it's a confoundedly powerful magic item. You would need some stonkingly powerful wizard to craft one, none of which, I believe, lives on the Strael Islands at all.
Okay.
But, you know, Arkham, we're not known for making real good wizards.
Wiz to wiz. Let me ask you a little cue. If we were swapped, I'm pretty confident we weren't swapped with these three people.
Sorry.
Right? I mean, that's what I think. Is there a way in which...
We swapped.
Yeah.
And you're confident we didn't swap with the people that we're currently residing within?
Yeah, that's what I think.
So
I don't think that the Zhraka I've seen standing next to Vandra is in any way this little paladin boy in front of me now.
I wonder what happened to these guys then.
That's the thing. I want to know, how do you follow a web? You've been into the astral plane.
Yes.
We have, sort of, as well. I know it's a total sort of fucknuttery out there, but what? How do we trace back who's in us and where we are and how them go?
How
dem go?
And if we could have like a resolution that takes like 30 seconds.
Exactly.
Yes, like, go and find the mystical sheep on top of the mountain. No, I've no fucking clue. If I knew that, I'd be rich and powerful and wise. My boy, what you're talking about is complete theory. I know that my friend Hoyle has some theories, some high-minded theories about... Oh, we've exchanged letters about, you know, dividing and then reconnecting. But to find a spirit in the astral plane is like finding a bloody needle in a haystack, which is why it took me so long to get back. He said, and he stops in thought for a second, and he says, "Are you familiar with the work of Kay Data? Wonderful mind.
Yeah. Oh, Elven professor.
Yes.
Yeah, collegiate.
Do you know her?
I'm aware of her.
Ah, yes, you're not Glitch. You're not Glitch. You don't know
her. Not him, but I'm... Yeah, Elf, Professor.
Yes.
No, yeah. I'm all over it. Don't worry.
What her brain was on her.
Oh, yeah.
Dead now, of course.
I have no idea, but yeah.
Dead now, of course, yes.
Oh.
Yes.
What happened?
Died.
Ah, no, that'll be the way.
And didn't fancy liching...
The fuck?
Didn't fancy liching it up, so, yeah, no dice, I'm afraid. Yes, I mean, she did some work into it, but she kept... Oh, she went a bit mad in her last days and kept talking about that ridiculous fairy tale of the five. I've got some notes on it downstairs. I don't know if you saw any, but she was obsessed with the fact that people could be tied to bodies beyond their natural lifespan and then brought back repeatedly. But I think it's nonsense. If it's a wish spell, it probably won't be much use, but perhaps you can... Perhaps you can track them down. There's also some matter of resonance. If you were to find your old bodies, you would be able to cross the barriers between the physic and the psychic, and perhaps blur some of the lines with some big smell. I don't. This is all. I'm just popping off the dome, boys. Popping off the dome here.
But do you think that maybe proximity is something that'll help us?
Yes. Have you been near them since?
Well,
oh, no.
I've got to be honest. We only sort of know where one of them. Or we think we know where one of them is.
Ah, yes, a problem.
I've one other question. What'll happen to us if the bodies we're in expire, and what'll happen to us again if the other our original bodies expire?
Well, my boy, death is a funny thing. What it effectively means is the tie between body and soul is severed due to a catastrophic injury or drowning, or heart attack, or
death,
or eating a sandwich the wrong way. Yes, what a death. Yes.
Death. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then your soul will separate and pop into the astral plane for a bit before perhaps those souls join the astral sea, and there they go to beyond that is religion, really, not my area of expertise, but I do know they hang around in the astral plane for some while if you are interested in reconnecting them. So, I imagine if you die, they would pop there, but being that they have been displaced, I'm afraid I don't really know. This is not a wish spell. It could have done anything. It could have severed all sorts of tethers. Yes, that did rhyme. Well, thank you. Gentlemen, look, I can leave you, not leave you, but I will help in any way I can. I can do some digging, some research. I can contact old Fed again, see if he's got any leads on this.
Let me guess, you'll give us a coin, but we can't call you, you'll call us.
No, well, I was going to do that, yes, that's true, but...
you know that trick!
That is actually exactly what I was planning.
I'll give you my personal, my DM details. Yes, I can give you a scroll for a very simple spell, which will allow you to communicate with me up to any distance from any plane of existence, I understand. I may also cast a spell to contact you at any time. It's called a spell called Sending. And he says, Mora, fetch me my scroll kit. And Mora bows and like delves into the back of the office and goes looking. And he says, I don't know where to start. I mean, like I say, Professor Darter was obsessed with the five. You might start there, but they are certainly fairy tales. You familiar with the stories?
No. This is the last piece of the puzzle that we were going to ask you about, I think.
It was? You're cleverer than you look, boy.
Yep. I am great.
and he digs into the pile of books that Mora picked out for him, and he picks up the top one, blows off the dust, and he says, yes, the five and their tiles to the Isles of Strail. A social history. Yes, very good one, very good one. Very boring, and he starts flicking through the pages. He says, The story of the five is one of the oldest on the Strail Islands, passed from parents onto their children for generations. Though the details change from one telling to the next, the core never changes. Five heroes, eternally bound in servitude to their home, who will return from death to protect Falster and her neighbours in their hour of need. Their names are lost or imagined, but their own stories become ossified in each retelling. The Source, the Hand, the Shadow, the Rake, and the Chosen. Most accounts say that the five were adventurers some centuries ago in the Age of Heroism, where dragons lived under the Black Mountain. Yes, perish the thought. And hordes of undead stalked the night. They were there at the Siege of Bruth, the invasion of the Summer Islanders, the Blubber Wars of Veld, blah, yeah, yeah. When our islands and their people had need of their services, the five would always answer. And there are tales of their deeds, written and sung as far away as the Forgotten Realms, indeed. Yes.
I remember them. Sorry, that's a shit joke.
That's hard to edit out.
And he starts scanning through another page. He says, people are divided as to who the five really are and if they really were. Sometimes they are holy warriors driven by a desire to serve some elder god. At other times, they're pirates on the seven seas. And other times still, they're mercenaries carried on the winds of good fortune and adventure. As for their reoccurrence, says this author, there are, I am unsure on several counts. Some outrageous peddlers of fiction may cast them as liches, living half lives beyond their natural death. Others say they are body snatchers. Yes, gentlemen, body snatchers, who come in the night to take, children who are wicked away and cast out their souls. Some say they are men and women cursed to wander the planet until all of existence meets its end. Oh, it's a bit less useful than I thought it would be. But that's the first place I thought of.
Yeah,
supposedly someone... boogeymen who came and stole your bodies in the night, but perhaps not useful.
Sort of floating in the astral plane from body to body, and that's how they keep going, so thus supporting the theory that someone could switch between people.
Yeah, it's an interesting hypothesis, young man, but yes.
Where was K-Data based?
K-Data, the Arcane Collegiate, of course. Over in Bruth, the City of Bridges. Far in the east, on the eastern edge of Falster. Yes, quite a place, quite a place. They have a manor train there. Who knows that thing?
Yeah. A what, sorry?
A manor train.
Oh, where does it take you?
Oh, it's just a little Paris. Round circuit, no. Little round circuit just around the place. Nothing that impressive. Very, very, very pretty thing, no?
Yes. Okay.
Yes. So, gentlemen, I'm honoured to make your acquaintance. I'm honoured to have my life saved by you, but I'm afraid I cannot help you find your bodies. If you die, I'll help. But I'm afraid I can only link what was there to what was there before. You understand?
Yes. Well, it seems like we've got some stuff to work out.
Yeah, we've got to work out what we're doing next. I mean, we could hook him up with Fed.
Yes, we could. I think he can hook himself up with
Tell Fed. You what, if you want to catch up on what's been going on for the last 10 years, give Fed a call.
Yes.
I will give Fed a call.
Yeah, and tell him to text me.
Because he's not really used that this old little coin I got right here.
Text, Glitch. Or, although, does he know you as Glitch or does he know you as something else?
No, he knows me as Glitch.
Text, Glitch, re-body popping.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, if just on the subject of the fact we reacquainted you with your body and everything, if you could do us a solid and not mention the whole, like...
Oh, fuck, yeah, don't tell
us.
Us not being who
we are.
As we said, very much between us.
Oh,
yeah, a lot of people don't know. Actually, we barely know.
And you know, and that makes four.
Yep.
And so four's a good one.
Yep.
No more than four.
That's what they say. Put four in your pocket, but leave five on the road.
Yes.
It's a Veld saying. You wouldn't know it.
Nor would you.
No, no, that's true. Neither would I.
He's gonna need some convincing. It's up to you how you want to convince him. Let's not
with a
threaten
fucking
him.
Knife!
No, no.
Yeah, I mean...
Are we going to threaten him? We just gone through all this trouble to make him...
Wait.
I don't know, you can...
My good man, we've had a long and rather tiresome day cleaning up quite a lot of the shit that you left when you kind of wandered off of the astral plane.
Okay, yes.
And also, I mean, I'd like to make grand claims about our proficiency, as you know, with death... But I think your kobold is currently cleaning away that evidence, and it's going to take them a while. So rather than make any sort of idle threats, or we're just going to appeal to your better nature. Please don't go around shouting what we just told you. And maybe at the end of it, you'll get some cool magic out of all of this when you find out exactly what happened to us. And, you know, I don't know, things might just work out fine.
I'll send you some memes.
Yes, I mean, he's got your number.
Yeah, I mean, that's something you've missed, actually. They're sort of like tiny little
And you receive these once per fortnight.
Yes, absolutely. And I'll do it over sending. Don't worry, you'll see.
Oh, very good, very good. My friend, you have, of course, a deal. He shakes to his hand and proffers a bony hand.
Appreciate it.
I take it.
And
I shake it.
The deal is made.
Pull him out the window.
Chuck him out the window.
So you boys leave behind the Wizard's Tower. You leave Candy probably cleaning up the mess on the third floor, and you step outside to see a slightly sobering sight of Milo standing over two freshly dug graves on this little. Remember, there's this little rise that the tower's on that overlooks the rest of Bollocks Deep, and the sun, which has been rising steadily all morning, is now kind of cresting these hills, and he stands above his departed brother.
Brother Jam.
Yeah, that's a horrible joke.
Oh. Here lies Brother Jam.
Gathers him into a bucket.
I was going to say, do you reckon you put him into the grave like with one of those, you know, like when you pipe cream onto a cake?
Oh my God. You were giving the necromancer such shit just a second ago.
Yeah, in the game.
Poor old Arcagast.
That's super good.
and Arcta turns back and sees you and says, right, is it... All sorted? As sorted as it can be?
Yeah, I think he's going to sort some shit out here and maybe get the town going again. And
yeah.
I mean, we got what we came for.
Mystery's certainly solved. Bollocks Deep's no longer a mystery.
What was going on? What's all the spooky shit?
Oh, well, to cut a long story short, that necromancer's a very irresponsible wizard. And he decided to take a decade-long trip into the astral plane and thereby left all of his kind of like spells and diggity-doodahs in the town... to go fucking feral. Oh. And we're kind of going to work out what the brains on legs were too.
Yes.
Came through the portal, we think.
We think we came through the portal. Wattic has a good theory about that.
So he's going to sort that shit out, but I think for now we're going to...
It should all be all right now. I think he's back.
Yes, absolutely.
Well,
it should be better, at least. I mean, there might still be quite a lot of dead things.
I suppose you could say the mystery's solved.
And Milo.
Yeah, you could.
Yeah.
I only hesitated there because you were looking at me as if, like,
there wasn't a pun. I'm just waiting for someone to write me a song.
Are you just looking around for, like, a glowing yellow question mark for a hand in?
Yeah, exactly. He's either that or he's just walking into various walls, kind of going, with their loot here.
I jump into the grave and start searching around.
Yeah, loot grave.
Going through the jam with my big grave spoon.
Oh my god.
He might have had some rings on him or something.
And Arctus smiles at you with, you know, as strongly as she can, says, "Well, that's great to hear, but I suppose, Mylos, we owe them a song." And Mylos, who's kind of completely bent over, he raises dramatically, flips his hat onto his head, and turns to the three of you and cracks a grin and says, "Ah, yes, a song, a song, a song. Avarana will be paid handsomely. I fear I may have a little suggestion for her, though. Would you like to hear it?"
I think we should just come with you, to be honest.
No, please, don't stop me.
Yes.
It goes a little something like this.
The Tower of Bollocks deep lay still, the town beneath forever ill, its people held in death's dread chill. They call to them, but heroes three came riding through, their wishes pure, their purpose true, to Bollocks' people bring their due, to save their souls. But oh, beyond the veil, our creatures beyond knowing, and oh, beyond the veil, does death stay ever growing? So man and no man, half blood join to seek the spire, the wishbone boys, while four bound only by love of coin pursue them. And oh, beyond the veil, the call of a maiden rung, and oh, beyond the veil, their souls do now belong. And brother has his brother slew, and Falster's heir is forged anew, and three shall journey onwards to restore. Souls begin to flood, and oh, beyond the veil, their fates are bound with.